Coming up on this episode of New York's Asset Protection Roundtable, a Three Pillars of Protection program, it is a mailbag edition. We'll have three questions we'll dive into, present some scenarios to Ted, and tell us how he'd work through them. Plus, we have today's legalese of the day coming up.
This is New York's Asset Protection Roundtable with Ted Alatsis of Alatsis Law Firm. Our mission at Alatsis Law Firm is to assist you with the three pillars of protection: preserving your assets, providing you help, and protecting your future.
Welcome into the podcast. Glad to have you. I'm Ben George with Ted Alatsis. He's an attorney and counselor of law at the Alatsis Law Firm. You'll find him there in Brooklyn, New York, but you'll also find him online at alatsislawfirm.com. Ted, how are you?
I'm doing great, Ben. Hope you're doing well.
I am doing well, and we got another good show, mailbag episode, coming up as well. We have a legalese of the day, which kind of ties into our last episode a little bit, so maybe you can expand on this a little bit more. I know you kind of talked us through it last time, but the rights of survivorship, the joint tenants with rights of survivorship. So explain again what that is and how that works.
Sure. So joint tenants with rights of survivorship is a form of joint ownership wherein the surviving beneficiary or the surviving tenant is the beneficiary when the other beneficiary dies. So you typically see that in the scenario, you know, husband and wife, you know, joint tenants with rights of survivorship, and the husband passes away, and then the wife then inherits everything and is the sole owner of the property, right? So that's the typical way of transferring assets between husbands and wives or spouses. In that general format, and usually with real estate, it's joint tenants with rights of survivorship.
Would this ever happen in a scenario with multiple people? I guess more than two, rather.
Yeah, you could have that too. I mean, it happens, and then obviously it's whoever's last gets it, right? So it's, you know, if you have three people, then, you know, and one passes away, the other two now own it, and then the second person dies, now the third person owns it. So yeah, you could do it with multiple people. It's done rarely. It's, you know, more likely to be a scenario like I just described, between husbands and wives or spouses, or partners, but you can see it in multiple beneficiaries. Yes.
And this covers, you can set this up basically with any asset, or are there specific assets it will not cover?
So you typically will see it in real estate and, you know, financial accounts. That's usually where you would see that type of asset. So generally speaking, that's where you'd see it, but you know, most assets can be titled that way.
Okay. Very good. All right, so that's today's legalese of the day. Thank you, Ted. As always, you have questions, 718-233-2903. And in fact, we do have some questions to dive into today. We have three that we'll run by Ted, kind of tying into some of our recent conversation on spouses and assets and transferring that. So here's one from Owen for you, Ted. He says, when my wife died, everything was jointly held in our names. I didn't have any trouble at all. My children are now bothering me about getting estate planning done, and I don't understand what the big deal is.
Oh, and that's a great question, and you know, it's a very common scenario. We encounter this all the time. So what your children are worried about is, you know, when you pass away, you haven't named any beneficiaries, and you haven't designated anyone either in a will or a trust or even on title to the property. So what would happen is when you passed away, your estate would be intestate. And what would then occur is that your beneficiaries would be determined by state law. Your property would likely be tied up in court for a long while until the estate is cleared up. And, you know, you may not necessarily want everything to go equally to your children. There may be claims and things like that you have to deal with as well. And so, you know, it probably, you know, would behoove you and your family for you to sit down with a lawyer and start going through what it is you want to accomplish with your estate plan, where you want everything to go, how you want it to get there, when you want it to get there, so that both you and your children are you know, comfortable and confident that what you want accomplished will happen.
All right, very good question, Owen. Thanks for sending that in to us. Here's one from Elise. I'm sure you probably hear this one quite a bit too, but she says, my husband and I have each other as beneficiaries on all of our accounts. So once one of us dies, the other will need to do estate planning then. But I don't know why we would need to do estate planning now. What would be the reason for us to do it?
Well, so at least there's a number of reasons why you probably should do it now. Well, first of all, let's discuss the scenario about whether you and your spouse have the same intentions with your estate plan. And if you don't, then, you know, you really need to sit down and discuss that with your spouse and try to figure out, you know, where things are going to go once you're both gone, so that, you know, your plan is consistent with both your wishes. That's issue number one. Issue number two, you haven't protected anything, right? So that's an issue that could arise. If, for example, you were to pass and now your husband is alive and your husband has a protracted illness or has lost mental capacity or the ability to make decisions for himself. Now he's run into a scenario where, you know, you put the house at risk. So, you know, there's that concern as well. So it's important to integrate your plan with your life. It's important to make sure that, you know, what it is that you want to accomplish is something that the two of you can do together. And, you know, frankly, you know, Elise, you may have a wonderful relationship with your husband, but, you know, you may pass on and your husband may find someone else. And now that someone else may be someone who's looking to take, you know, from your estate. So these are all things that I think are, you know, issues that could arise. And I think you both need to sit down and plan accordingly.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I know, you know, it's always appreciated that Elise is listening and learning from the podcast. That's, I know, the whole goal of the podcast, that is to educate people in these kind of areas. But how do you get the word out to someone like this? So I'm sure there's a lot of people that are in this situation. Well, hey, my husband or wife is the beneficiary, so, you know, everything's kind of taken care of when one of us passes. But there's obviously a lot more to it. So how do you help inform someone that maybe just isn't proactive about doing it on their own?
All right. So one of the things we do is we offer a workshop that's free to anyone who attends. And essentially in that workshop, we go over a number of scenarios that describe what could happen if you don't have an estate plan or if your estate plan isn't, you know, properly intentioned. And so, you know, one of the stories we talk about is a scenario where husband and wife are both alive. They have a property and now, you know, the husband has passed away. And the wife is being coerced or enticed or whatever else you want to call it by her recently hired pool boy who's maintaining the pool. And, you know, a properly prepared estate plan would protect the assets so that the pool boy doesn't become the predator and take assets away from mom, right? And, you know, mom is okay with that because she's got an estate plan that's similar to dad and, you know, intends to protect dad as well. So, you know, there's lots of scenarios that we go over during those workshops. And that's, you know, how we try to impart upon the people who are at the workshop to understand, you know, what the consequences can be if they're not proactive.
All right. Thank you for that, Ted. All right. Let's close out with one more question. This one from Theo. It says, after my mom died, my dad put my brother's name as a co-owner on his bank accounts and his house. He said that he wanted to do this to avoid probate issues when he dies. I'm afraid that there will be problems when dad dies. Does my brother have to divide the accounts between all four of us siblings? And can he keep everything for himself?
Theo, that's a great question. And we run into this all the time. And I can't tell you how many times people come in and tell us that they've done something like this and they're confident that there won't be any problem. And, you know, they pass away and guess what? There's a problem. Yeah, Theo, your brother could definitely take everything that's in that account and never give it to any of you siblings. And he'd be legally obligated to do nothing other than that. So if your mom's intention is to make sure that, you know, those funds are divided equally amongst the four of you, then, you know, she can do a couple of things. One, she could remove him as beneficiary and do a will. That's number one. Number two, she could add all four of you as beneficiaries so that each of you gets the same share. She could put the accounts into a trust, naming the beneficiaries in the trust. So there's a lot of different things that she can do that could make certain that you're all protected by her intentions. But if she leaves it to your brother's devices, you know, you run the risk of your brother just taking it and going away.
Mm. Yeah, definitely a great question.
And, you know, just not just another example, not even a nefarious example. You know, let's say the brother doesn't intend on screwing the other siblings out of their accounts, but, you know, he's sued by American Express because he hasn't paid his American Express bill, and now he's got a judgment against him for $50,000. And, you know, yeah, they, because he's the beneficiary, they can just take it right from that account when mom dies, leaving all of you you know, out of luck as well. So that's another, you know, scenario that isn't nefarious. So, you know, it doesn't always have to be a nefarious scenario. So, yeah, that definitely at risk. So I would definitely have a conversation with your mom on this.
Yeah, great question. And we appreciate you reaching out. Definitely something to follow up with. And again, if you want to follow up with Ted, the best way to do that is logging on elasticlawfirm.com. You can schedule a consultation there, get access to free guides, learn more about workshops that are coming up. There's tabs for all those things as well. But if you want to call, that number is 718-233-2903. All right, Ted, appreciate your time. As always, encourage everyone to subscribe to the podcast so you'll know when our next episode's coming out. And Ted, we'll talk to you then.
Absolutely, and looking forward to it.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.